If you're here this morning, you are definitely a blessed person. And we've got so much sickness going on. My family, we've been going through it this week. Grandkids and sons and daughters and daughter-in-laws, we've been sick. I'll be real honest with you, I'd like to feel a little bit better this morning myself. Amen. But we're glad that you're here. I want you to pray for me this morning. Can you give me just a couple of minutes to kind of gather myself? Boy, I tell you what, I've been where I hadn't been in a while. You say, you're probably sitting there thinking, oh, Brother Gary, he's been fasting and praying all week. He's been close to God all week, and he's rejoicing about it this morning. Totally the opposite. Been one of the worst weeks I've ever had. Been way less than perfect. But you know what? We serve a perfect God. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. I want you to pray for me this morning that God will have His way. I feel like I got a word for somebody this morning. I want you to pray for Pastor D and Sister Rhonda there on the bed of affliction this morning. Pray that God will bless them. Pray for my grandkids. They're sick. Got a lot of people that has mentioned to me this morning. They got family that's sick. They've been battling it. But you know what? I'd rather be here this morning than be in the best hospital I can think of. Amen? So God is such an awesome God. If you've got your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 2. This ain't going to be nothing you ain't heard before. This is a message that I've preached here one time. I think I've preached this message twice. I think I preached it at Rhinesville Community Church, and I think I preached it here one time. I've preached from these scriptures several times, but not this particular message. I think this is the message that God sent this morning. I think this is the assignment that God sent me to give to you this morning. But you pray for me. If you're a preacher or a teacher, and you've probably teach 10 messages or teach 10 classes, this is probably one of the messages you preach or preach from these scriptures. So I want you to pray for me this morning that God will just have His way. I want you to be attentive to the Word of God. I want you to put on your spiritual ears this morning, and I'll try to get through this. Got these allergy eyes this morning, got this stuff going on in my head. I don't know if I can read these scriptures or not. I may have to call on somebody to come up and read these scriptures for me this morning. You don't have to volunteer right now. I'll just call you out. Amen. That'll get people to praying, I promise you. I promise you people will start praying when you say, I want you to come up and read my scripture for me. But you pray for me this morning that God will have His way. Mark chapter 2, I'll read verse 1 through 12. Probably won't preach all of it, but I'll go as far as I feel like I need to go. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, or carried by four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when he had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But they were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason you these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. He said in the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I'd like to use this thought this morning. What did you come for? With a subtitle, are you suffering from spiritual paralysis? What did you come for this morning? Some may come out of obligation. Others may come because it's just the right thing to do. Others might have just come to be part of the crowd, or there may be some here that just dropped in to see what condition your condition's in. But what did you come this morning? Some people came because they have some real needs. The Bible said that there was heard that Jesus was in the house. If you're one of those with needs, it could be spiritual, mental, physical, whatever it is, can I tell you that Jesus is in the house? If I don't know nothing, if I don't know not one thing, I promise you that Jesus is here this morning. Why? Because I brought him with me, first of all. Another thing, because you just don't experience what we've experienced around here this morning if Jesus is not in the house. So Jesus is in the house this morning. So if you're one of these with needs, it could be these things, spiritual, mental, physical, whatever it might be, Jesus is in the house. Verse 2 said, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. So when they got there, the crowd was so great, it was so thick and so heavy, they couldn't even get close to Jesus. Amen? Can I tell you that Jesus is in the house? So no matter what your reason is for being here today, it's good because Jesus told his servants in Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Amen. Now you can look at that from a spiritual standpoint and you can look at it from a physical standpoint. Amen. Jesus said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. Now we got a lot of empty seats this morning. I know we got children in children's church and we got babies in the nursery and we got people out wandering around in the halls for whatever reason. Amen. But Jesus said, go out and compel them to come in that my house might be full. Now Jesus is not pleased with empty seats this morning. I'm not pleased with empty seats this morning. Neither should you be pleased with empty seats. We have a mission. We have a plan and we have a purpose, and that's for us to go out, get them, and bring them into the house of God. Or you can look at it from a spiritual standpoint. You are the house of God. You are the temple of God. And God wants you to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? So when he had the house full, or he had the house like he wants it filled, the Bible said that he preached the word unto them. Now in 1 Corinthians 1:21, for God in his wisdom saw it that the world would never find God through the human brilliance. Amen. Now God had a plan in the beginning. And there's a lot of smart people out there in this world. There's a lot of people with a lot of education. There's a lot of people with some great ideas. And they're good and they sound real good. But the Bible said that God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. And now yesterday I went through something. I told y'all I've had a terrible week. Amen. Been way less than perfect. And I got up yesterday morning and I was just praying and I was just thinking about God. And I said, God, I don't even know why I do this. I don't know why I just keep on putting myself through this. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If you've ever experienced the power of God on your life, and you've been on that roller coaster ride when you've been up and you've been down, and those times when you're down, you're thinking, God, I don't even know why I do this. I don't even know why I get up and study. I don't even know why I go down to that church and get up behind that pulpit and try to pull my heart out to them, and they sit there and look at me like I got four eyes. Oh, I have got four eyes. Oh, my goodness. Somebody better pray. I was going to try to zip through this and get y'all out of here. Amen. He said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Apostle Paul is not dealing with the act of preaching here, but with what is preaching. Amen. He's not dealing with the act of preaching, but what is preaching? There ain't nothing new. I got up this morning, I thought about that the very first thing. You know what I really wanted to preach on this morning? I wanted to preach on why does bad things happen to good people. And I'd already begun to study it, and I'd already begun to search the Scriptures of why does bad things happen to good people. But that ain't what God wanted. This is what God wanted you to hear this morning. He wanted you to hear this. There ain't nothing new. It's still the Word of God. If you're looking for something new, you're not going to find it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'd like to come up with this awesome message, hey man, it just gets everybody to jump in the pews and swinging from the chandelier. I'd like to have this great message, but there ain't nothing new, hey man. I thought about this. We have men's brotherhood breakfast every month, hey man, and we go downstairs and we have the same thing. We have gravy and biscuits, and we have scrambled eggs, and we have bacon and sausage. Amen. Every month. But you know what? It's good every time. I like it. Amen. So when we get through with this, I hope you got the Word of God as much as you like gravy and biscuit. Amen. So there ain't nothing new. Everything still hinges on your faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Come on now. There ain't nothing new. Everything still hinges on your faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. So, Jesus preached the Word. That's what the Bible said. He preached the Word. Now, I'd like to know the message, what He preached. Amen. I'd like to know the title that He used that day. When He was in the house and the house was full, amen, you couldn't even get in the door. And I thought about this when I was a kid, and we used to go to that old Baptist church down there, and them old saints of God would get up to singing, and they'd get up to dancing, and those old bobby pins would start flying, and that hair would fall down, and you couldn't even get in the door. Amen. People would come around and stick their heads in the window. Are we? We didn't have screens back then. We didn't have air conditioning. Amen. We just raised the windows up. But the house would be so packed because they wanted to see what God was doing. Amen. And you know what they were doing back then? They was preaching the Word. They weren't doing nothing no different than what we're doing today. They were preaching the Word. I'd like to know what His message was. It might have been from Isaiah 63. For He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of His peace was upon Him. And by His stripes were you healed. That could have been the message. Or it could have been Isaiah chapter 1 where He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. No, I don't know. The message might have been, what'd you come for? What are you doing here? Amen. The house is full. They couldn't even get to the door. So what did you come for? But at His home synagogue in Nazareth, Jesus connected His ministry with that of the prophet Isaiah in 61 and 1, proclaiming deliverance. Amen. Luke 4, 18 and 19. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now that just about covers everything. Amen. So what did you come for? Verse 3 says this. And they come unto Him, bringing one sick of a palsy, which was born afore or carried by four. Amen? They didn't just come out of obligation. They didn't come just to be part of the crowd. They didn't come just because it was the right thing to do. They had a real problem. Amen? They had a real problem. Is anybody here this morning, you got some real problems? Come on now. I don't know about you, but I got some issues. I got some problems. Amen? But there is a God in heaven. Hallelujah. This sees right down in my heart. Amen. He knows exactly how I feel. He knows exactly who I am. And He knows exactly where I'm at. Hallelujah. My goodness, I might just throw these notes away. Amen? But there was one that had a real problem. He was sick of palsy. Now, if you don't know what palsy or ever how you want to say it is, it's a paralysis or paralyzed. He was sick with spiritual paralysis, or his had a physical paralysis, which paralysis is a complete loss of the ability to move or feel sensation, to cause to be powerless, inoperable, not moving, just sitting still. Oh my goodness, you're not going to go there, are you? Absolutely, absolutely. I come in this morning and I thought about this. I'm just going to come in and I'm just going to sit over there and I'm going to be real quiet and I'm going to be real spiritual and I'm going to be deep, amen. And I thought about this. An old comedian said one time, I had the right to remain silent. I just didn't have the ability, amen. And that's what happened to me this morning. I had the right to remain silent, but I just didn't have the ability, because something come over me, amen. And oh my goodness, that thing blow up in me and begin to rise up in me, and all I could do was just sit and cry. And I got these old bad legs, but you know what, I could have sit there and be quiet. I just didn't have the ability. I could have sat there and be still, amen, and not jump and not spin around in circles, but I just didn't have the ability, amen. Hallelujah. Rhonda ain't here this morning to tell me where I'm at. Somebody else will have to do it. A partial or complete loss of the ability to move or to feel sensation. Has anybody ever suffered temporary spiritual paralysis? Loss of the ability to move, feel feelings of excitement, sensation, powerless, inoperable. If you find yourself in this condition, Jesus is in the house, but you have to position yourself for your divine intervention. Amen? So Jesus is in the house, but you've got to position yourself for divine intervention in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going somewhere. Now, who am I at? How many were there? So many, there was no room left, not even outside the door. But one man, he had a need. Verse 3 said, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. Now we know who him is, and that's Jesus. We know about one. He is sick of the palsy. But who is they? You've heard this preached a lot of times, probably. I don't know. You might not have ever heard it. Amen? But this is the way that God give it to me. Now, I know that you have heard this preached, but I give it to you just like God give it to me. We're going to name these four: compassion, faith, determination, and perseverance. There are some things about this story that we don't know. But we do know that one man had a need. And these four, to get him to this place to receive his healing, the first one we want to talk about is compassion. Webster says that compassion is sorrow for the suffering or trouble of another with the urge to help. Mercy. Compassion saw a need and said, I've got to do something. Amen? But I don't know nothing about this guy. I don't know his life. I don't know his situation. I don't know where he's been, and I don't know what he's done. Amen? I don't know what his problem is. See, compassion is not like us a lot of times. We see the need of somebody. We want to analyze the situation. Amen? I wonder what his issue is. If he had been doing what he was doing, he wouldn't be where he's at. Amen? But God is not like that. God is a God of compassion. He's the ultimate compassionate. God bless him. If he had been doing what he had been doing, he wouldn't be where he's at. Oh, come on. How many of you said that? I never will forget, and y'all just pray for me. These thoughts just come to my mind. I never will forget when me and my wife first got married. We lived next door to my brother, and he had three kids, amen? And those kids didn't act like I wanted them to act, amen? And I told my wife, I said, when we have kids, they're not going to act like that. And, you know, they're going to be under subjection. They're going to do everything I tell them to do wrong. Amen? Totally wrong. See, compassion don't think like we. We do. Compassion activates mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is that part of God that gives us what we need and what we do not deserve. Amen? Amen? Compassion is that part that gives you what you need and not what you deserve. If I got what I deserved this week, you know where I'd be? I'd be that old bad place. Amen. If I got what I deserved this week, amen, I wouldn't be here this morning. Amen. If I got what I deserved, I'd be over there with my head between my legs and poor, pitiful little old me. Amen. But that's not compassion. I come into the house of God this morning feeling like a dog. Amen. But compassion said, go ahead and praise me anyway. Amen. Compassion said, I know ye. I know where ye at. But that's the compassion and love of God. Amen. If I got what I deserve. Now let's look back at Mark 1, 38 through 31. He said unto them, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also, for therefore I came forth. And he preached in their synagogue throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus said, and Jesus, moved with the compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will be thy clean. Now, leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. Amen? And Jesus didn't analyze the situation. He was moved with compassion and touched him and said, I will be thy clean. Come on now, we're going somewhere right here. You're going to be sitting here this morning. You'll say, I got some real needs. I'd like for God to do something for me. But you know what? I'm kind of like Brother Gary. I've been way less than perfect this weekend. And God can't possibly answer my prayer. God can answer your very prayer this morning. I don't care what it is. Amen? So compassion sees the need, acts on the need, and it gives. But it's going to take more than just seeing and acting to get one where he needs to be. Amen? Let me say that again. Compassion sees the need, acts on the need, but it's going to take more than just seeing and acting to get one where he needs to be. This looks like an impossible situation. Have you ever had those impossible situations in your life? Amen. I could tell you some stuff this morning. Amen. When I first got married, me and my wife, we went through some stuff. And it looked like totally impossible situation. Matter of fact, the doctor already told us this is impossible. But you know what? I serve a God of impossibilities. Amen. I go to the doctor and he said, I don't understand what happened. I know exactly what happened. There's a God in heaven that still has compassion upon his people, that still heals his people and meet every need that they need. Amen. So compassion needs his friend faith to help. Compassion sees the need and has a urge to help, but you're looking at your impossible situation. But can I tell you, when you operate in the arena of faith, impossibilities become possible. Amen? When you operate in the arena of faith, your impossible situation becomes possible. Amen? Now, there may be some people here today that you have been in this condition so long that you settle into the fact that it's just always going to be that way. Amen? I know them. I've seen whole churches suffering from spiritual paralysis. Try preaching there. The loss of the ability to move, no excitement, nothing going on, powerless, no operations of the gift, lifeless, just sitting there. No sowing, no reaping, just going through the motion, just sitting there. Now, I wasn't going to tell this, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it anyway. I say it a lot. There was a guy in a church, died. Had a heart attack, sitting on the front row. Called the undertaker to come get him. The undertaker came in, carried out half the church before we got the right person. Amen? That's funny. That's real funny. But are you suffering from spiritual paralysis? I wonder sometimes. Sometimes I'd like to bring a mirror to church with me in this, put it under some people's nose and see if they're really there. Amen? Oh my gosh, I got to go. But compassion mixed with faith moves you towards your healing. Now, if I asked you what is faith, of course, you would go to Hebrews. And you would say, well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Amen. That really don't tell you what faith is. Amen. Faith is a confident assurance that something we need is going to happen. Amen. Confident assurance that something we need is going to happen. That's faith. Amen. So compassion and faith, where do they come from? They come from God. Jesus, the ultimate compassionate. And faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith and compassion comes from God. Now these things on the side of your ear, they're not trash cans. Amen? Garbage in, garbage out. So if I get up here this, or for every time I get up, and I tell you, man, you're not going to make it. If I tell you something long enough, you're going to start to believe that. Amen? Good or bad, if I get up and tell you something long enough, you're going to believe, man, you're not going to make it. You might as well settle in to the fact that you're there and you're going to be there. Amen? If I tell you that long enough, you're going to believe it. Amen? But I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you what the Word says. The Word says you can be the head and not the tail. You can be the lender and not the borrower. Amen? And that God can make your feet as hinds feet, that you can walk upon your high places. Amen? That is the Word of God, and that's what works. Amen? So every time I get up, I'm going to preach you the Word, or try to preach you the Word. But you have to position yourself to receive your miracle. You've got to see yourself walking in victory. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen? You've got to see yourself being the victor, not the victim. You've got to see yourself walking in healing. Come on, you one of them prosperity preachers. You one of them guys that says, give me 1,000 and God will send you 10,000. No, not at all. Amen. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you can see yourself walking in victory, it'll happen. Amen. If you'll continue to tell yourself, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the lender and not the borrower. You'll start to believe that. So when you start to believe that, that activates faith in your life. And what is it? A faith moves God towards your miracle. Am I making any sense at all? Oh, me. But when we start moving towards our miracle, oh, my God. What's that up ahead? That's trouble. Can you imagine when they started taking the man on his bed? And then we're looking spiritual side. This all goes on the inside, but we're looking at it from a natural standpoint. They start taking this man towards Jesus, and they look up ahead and they say, oh my God, we had a plan, but this looks impossible because there's so many people there. We can't even get close to Jesus. Compassion sometimes fades. Faith gets weak, but determination says, I've got my mind made up. Amen. How many of you be just real honest with me this morning and say, sometimes my faith gets weak? Amen? We got 3 honest people in the house this morning. Sometimes my faith gets weak. Sometimes my compassion fades. But determination says, I've got my mind made up. Is anybody here this morning? It's you're totally determined. You're totally sold out. Amen? You've got your foot on the rock and your mind made up. Them old preachers used to say, I got my foot on the rock. Ha! And I got my mind made up. Amen? And that's exactly what we need to do. Amen? I loved it back in those days, man. And they'd put their ear, a hand behind their ear. And I don't know what it was about putting her hand behind her ear, but it made them preach real good, all I know. Amen? And they'd keep that leg up. Amen? And they'd shout and they'd run around that altar. Amen. I really miss those days. Amen. But we're moving into something new and something powerful. Amen. And there may be a time. Oh, my goodness. Now, Pastor, if you're going to start acting like that, oh, my goodness. Determination said to compassion and faith, this is what we'll do. We'll climb up on the roof and make a way where there seems to be no way. And then, every time I read that, I think about the woman with the issue of blood. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I can just touch the hem of your garment. Now I'm fixing to throw something on you really heavy. Amen. And I want you to go home and study it out for yourself. Have you ever heard that the woman with the issue of blood was actually married to Jairus, and their daughter that had been sick or had been dead that was 12 years old, this was her daughter? Oh my God, who'd you come up with that at? Study it out for yourself. Just saying. May not be a bit of truth to it. But just imagine for a minute that this is true. You've got a woman with an issue of blood. She spent everything that she had trying to get healed and never could get there. But she said, if I could just get to Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you this morning, if you get in front of a desperate woman trying to get her miracle, you're in trouble. Amen. I promise you, if you got a sick baby at home, if you got a dead baby at home, and they're telling you, if you can just get to Jesus, Jesus will give you a miracle. And they start out real polite, amen. And they start out and said, will you pass the butter, please? And could you please pour me some more tea? Then all of a sudden, amen, they become aggressive. And they say, I've got to get to Jesus. Get out of my way. I've got to get to my miracle. Amen. And you just, oh my goodness. Hallelujah. I know I'm enjoying this a lot more than you are. Because you can't quit thinking about Jairus being married to the woman with the issue of blood and having a 12-year-old daughter just died. Oh my goodness. They'd be calling me a false prophet. They could have said, this sounds like a plan. This is what we're going to do. We're going to get there. We can't get in, but we got to get him to Jesus. Did I then read this? A lot of houses in Bible times were built from stone. They had flat roofs. They were made out of mud and straw. And outside they had a staircase leading up to the roof. They could have took one of the stairs, tore a hole in the roof, and lowered him down to Jesus. They could have said, this sounds like a plan. But man, this is a lot of work. We've got to put legs on our faith. The Bible said faith without works is dead. Amen? So you can have faith, but you've got to put legs on your faith and you've got to move towards your miracle. Amen? So they had a plan. We're going to take him up on the roof. We're going to cut a hole and we're going to lower him down to Jesus. This sounds like a plan. How do you get from where you're at to where your miracle is? Just like they did. One step at a time. Amen? The first step that you've got to take here this morning, and this is some theological heavy load, you've got to come to Jesus. Amen. You can't take another step unless you come to Jesus and say, God, I'm here. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need to be saved. And then from that point, that's your first step. Nothing else matters. That's what you got to do first. You got to take that first step towards Jesus and accept Him as your Savior and let God do a miracle in your life. Amen. So you move towards your miracle just like they did, one step at a time. Amen? Then you've got to say this. You've got to say that I believe that God is, and He is a rewarder to those that diligently seek Him. Amen? Is that what the Bible's saying? He is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. Amen? Now, I believe in compassion. I believe in faith. I believe in perseverance. I believe in all these things. But we got to take it one step at a time. This is where the twin brother of determination comes in, and that's perseverance, persistence, steadfastness. Now listen to this. Perseverance is what you have when you can make yourself do something that you really don't feel like doing. Amen? That's perseverance. I don't like getting up at 4 o'clock every morning. to go to work. Amen. But perseverance is what I've got. I'm determined. I got my foot on the rock and I got my mind made up. Amen. It's that thing that you have that can make you do something that you really don't feel like doing. Sometimes I don't feel like praying. Sometimes I don't feel like studying my Bible. Sometimes I don't feel like coming to church. And a whole bunch of times I don't feel like preaching. Amen. But perseverance helps me get to where I need to be. Now, I'm trying to wind this thing down. So perseverance is what you have. Amen. I don't always feel like Brother Steve getting up at 4 o'clock, getting my Bible and studying and praying. I don't always feel like that. I certainly, when I get deep into that word, I don't feel like leaving that and going to work. But perseverance tells me if I'm going to get a full paycheck, I've got to pull in a full week's work. Amen. Oh, man, that's good. I don't always feel like doing things. Determination and perseverance got one to the position of his miracle because verse 4 said, when they had broken up the roof, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Verse 5 said, when Jesus saw they got one to the right place, he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. Now, this seems like a strange thing to say. It's a matter of paralysis, not sin, isn't it? I'm getting better. I was going to say, ain't it? Isn't it? Partial or complete loss of the ability to move, feel, powerless, inoperative. These were the symptoms. But Jesus goes beyond the symptoms to the cause, sin. Oh my goodness. You mean because I wasn't up jumping and dancing and shouting this morning that I got sin in my life? Probably. Jesus said, he's that without sin, let him cast the first stone. Amen? Come on, brothers and sisters. We're just going to tell it like it is. We're a sinful people. I'm probably a lot worse than a bunch of y'all. But sin separates me from God. But compassion, faith, determination, all these things moves me towards my miracle. If a man know to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. Now don't nobody get tore up. Don't nobody get excited. Don't nobody jump up and run out the door. Because when I tell you this, the devil's going to be madder than Al Gore at a monster tractor pull. That's good. Somebody's saying, who is Al Gore? The devil's going to be mad. Amen? Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Now, on this earth, in this lifetime, you can walk in victory because Jesus forgives your sins. Amen? Amen? He didn't have to wait till the day of judgment. We have the presence of assurance of forgiveness. So all that put their trust in the Lord have the same thing. See, the devil ain't nothing but a tattletale. That's what he does. Amen? Every time I mess up, he runs to God. Brother Gary said a bad word. Every time I mess up, he runs to God and he says, Brother Gary did something he shouldn't have done. He's the accuser of the brother. That the Bible said, my little children, I'd have you sin not, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So what is our advocate? He is our lawyer for the defense. Amen? Now, in the natural, if I get a lawyer, I've messed up and I've made some mistakes and I've done some things that are against the law. Amen? I go get me a lawyer and I tell my lawyer what I've done and he says, okay. Then he comes back and he tells me, he says, you're guilty. Amen. You did this and you're guilty. But you know what? I have a loophole. So I want you to sit there and I don't want you to say nothing. Because I'm your advocate. Our advocate speaks for us. He's our lawyer for defense. He goes before God and he says this. He talks to God. He comes back and tells me, this is how I want you to plead. And when I get up, I say, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Amen. He's found a loophole, and that loophole is Jesus Christ, because he forgives me of my sins. Amen? So we have an advocate, our lawyer for defense. When I'm suffering from temporary spiritual paralysis, compassion, faith, determination, and perseverance is going to get me to the position to receive my healing. What is your position? Amen? What is your position? Ryan, if you'd come to the piano, please. If y'all got something you want to sing? If not, that's fine. But there's some people sitting here this morning. You ain't killed nobody. You ain't done no dope. You ain't cheated on your spouse. You ain't done a lot of things that we consider sin. Amen? But maybe it's not what you did. Maybe it's just what you hadn't done. Amen? And there's a position that you have to take to reach your miracle. And you come in this morning, and you probably thought, God, don't make me act like Brother Gary. I don't really want to act like that. You know what? God don't make me act like that. God lets me do it. Amen? You've got to position yourself to get your miracle. I don't have your miracle. Jesus has got your miracle. So what is your position? What is the position that you need to take? And I've heard this all my life, and you've heard it all your life. Oh, we got to be living at the foot of the cross. No. Because there ain't nobody at the cross. Jesus, he done left the cross. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. Our position is at the feet of Jesus. So when they got on the rooftop and they tore up the tiles with the clay and mud, and they lowered the man with a spiritual paralysis down before Jesus, he said, your sins are forgiven. Just take up your bed and walk. That's pretty simple, ain't it? But you know what? There was those people there that said, you speak in blasphemy. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Just take up your bed and walk. Amen. If you'll bring your problems to the feet of Jesus and just leave them there, don't take them back to your seat. Don't take them home with you. Just leave them at Jesus' feet and just take up your bed and walk. And they said, we've never seen it like this before. See, the physical mind can't comprehend the grace of God. So if you'll just come this morning and just lay it at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Leave it there. Just take up your bed and walk. God can do a miracle in your life. You'll stand to your feet all over the house this morning. I've got a vision for this church. And your vision may not be my vision, but I've got a vision. Brother Terry, I've got a vision of coming to this church one morning and everybody doing exactly what God wants them to do. Can you imagine? I see people coming out of that back pew and running down to this altar and running back. I see people jumping. I see people shouting. I see people set free like they have never, ever, ever been set free before. Amen. They quit suffering from spiritual paralysis and they begin to move and they begin to operate in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. As they sing, these altars are open. You got a need this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and say, he's not preaching to me because I'm not spiritually paralyzed. Maybe you just want to come and praise God. Maybe you're here and you're lost. And you say, I just want to take that first step that God can begin to work in my life like I know He can. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hope you've been blessed through the Word of God this morning. Praying that you have an awesome week. I have a prayer that I pray every morning. I say, God, will you go before me? God, will you take my hand and guide my steps? Every morning, I'm glad that we serve a God that goes before us. Amen. You ain't never been nowhere that He hadn't been before. Shake hands, be friendly. I love you.